Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Right on his spine, a great hit that forced a fumble. So don't give me this crap about how you can't play violent football anymore. And both things can be true, the call on him was ludicrous later in the game. Thank you, Limits. Next.
Here's Ben on the referees as well and his thoughts on how the game is officiated.
On social media after the game, James Harrison.
Hold on. Pause. This is good. We need to do this every week. What should we call this segment? Mike and Ben? Ben and Mike? Mike and Tony's?
Well, Mike and Tony's is taken.
I know, but it just came to mind. What should we call this? We'll figure out a name. Go back, please.
Here's Ben.
I think on social media after the game, James Harrison, Debo, I won't necessarily criticize as bad, but I know he went in on the officials how bad officiating was because we can't get fined anymore. So doesn't matter. I thought the Minka hit on the sideline was an atrocious call. Minka, you are exactly right. You play the game the right way. You care about player safety. You care about the rules, the integrity of the game. I thought that was a good hit. I thought he hit him with his shoulder. I don't think he launched. I think if anything, Minka kind of bounced off him. That changed the game because that's a huge play. It's a shame that they don't get that fixed. Minka, good job playing the game. I'm sorry that happened to you.
I agree with every syllable and half syllable Ben just uttered there. He's just flat out right. Just stupid. What are you doing? But there was another call early in the game that, in my opinion, was 10 times more embarrassing, and that was landing on Fields with a great hit. I mean, shoulder to chest or shoulder to gut, and he put him on the ground. And then, you know, you have the same, here's what really gets me. The same people who will cry about the Minka hit and lament the fact that you can't play football anymore are the ones defending the call against Land. Oh, he did land with all his body weight. That was a good call. No, it wasn't. We know what that looks like when it happens. It's essentially pile driving. It's taking a guy and unnecessarily using all your weight to drive him into the ground. This dude made a tackle. That's all he did. And if it was TJ Watt or Highsmith or Cam or anybody else making that tackle, you would have been outraged at the call. It was way worse than the Minka call. Way worse. It was a tackle. That's all it was. Agreed?
Do you like Ball and Bites as a potential name?
Who?
Football and Bites, sound bites?
No. What?
No.
Ball and Bites?
Yeah. Football, baseball, basketball, and Bites? No?
No. 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 The segment is Ben and Mike Tomlin were going back and forth between their sound bites.
I'll just throw it out a hypothetical. But back to what Ben said. Yeah, I mean, I agree with him. It was so many, with every syllable that he said.
Or half syllable, right?
As well, because.
Next. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead. Give your soliloquy.
Basically, what Minka was trying to do and leaning with the shoulder, I just don't understand why the officials can't have somebody, because there's an official in the booth.
Yes.
That helps them signal. Why can't you just drop somebody down and give a
somebody
quick answer
up there
the
is watching quarterback hits because the league is so vigilant about them and because it's a pretty important topic because they're your bread and butter in many ways, your quarterbacks. And also these ejectable hits or non-hits that you see in other games. That's one person's job is to just look at that. He's the hit doctor. That's it. That's all he does. And he looks at that ridiculous play and immediately dials down to the ref on the field and says, pick up the flag and tell everybody no foul on the play. They do that anyways. And it drives me crazy in other instances. They did it in the Steelers' favor the other day,
yeah. A
holding call. And then this guy gets on the mic and says, oh, there was no holding. Really? Then why did one of the guys on your crew look at a play and call holding? Well, what do you mean there was no holding? Somebody watched a play, saw holding, and threw a flag. So there was holding.
Yeah,
why are you picking up the flag? But point being, you can pick up a flag for anything.
Right. It happens in games all around the league. I mean, I saw it a couple times in that Baltimore game. against Buffalo. Last one. Here's Tomlin with the running game being better with Cordarrelle Patterson.
Darrell had success before he got hurt running the ball. Was there something that he was doing differently or that was working in the run game when he got in there?
He was playing extremely well, but we're not surprised by that. You know, he's a dynamic guy. We're excited about continually including him in what we do.
Yeah, a good question by Brooke Pryor. I think another question could have been and still could be for Tomlin, does Najee Harris's running style fit in your offense? Or as it pertained to the other day, maybe, Mike, it looked like at the same point in the game, in same situations, Cordarrelle was getting the ball on the same play calls as Najee, and one guy, 84, was hitting the hole fast and was unstoppable, and the other guy was very, very stoppable. He was averaging 1 yard a carry. How do you explain that?
You think Najee's hesitating when he gets to the line and is trying to, not Le'Veon Bell style of running, but he's just not going straight as soon as he sees it, he hits it.
Well, it's been a problem in the past, and I think it's correctable. I don't think he has the quickest first step in the league, don't get me wrong, but that's been a problem. You mentioned Le'Veon Bell. Somebody put out on X the other day the best of Le'Veon. I forget how he was great. And he was unique. I've never seen a guy, and I am a running back connoisseur from the 70s. I love analyzing their styles and watching how different they all are. Somebody did a comparison of Eric Dickerson and Derrick Henry the other day, and they're nothing like Tony Dorsett or Barry Sanders. Le'Veon was a unique player in the history of the game. The closest I saw to him actually was Franco in terms of exhibiting that kind of patience when 11 guys are trying to maim you. It's unbelievable how he would stand back there and hesitate and pick his hole and accelerate through it. He was great. Le'Veon Bell, in at his very best, is one of the best running backs I've ever seen. You add to that he could catch like a wide receiver, and it's actually sickening that his career went the way it did. And a lot of it is his fault. It is. But it's sickening because he should be going to the Hall of Fame. That's how good he was.
He probably needed another year or two in his peak to be able to accomplish that because he was right there. Right there in that 7-year window that you need to be a Hall of Famer. That's typically what the voting committee looks at. And the holdout obviously is going to hurt him for a while. He would just stop behind the line. That's what was crazy. He would be going 2 miles an hour behind the line of scrimmage. Just stop, wait, hit the hole.
He was a 2-time first team All-Pro. Like, you look across this legendary franchise's history, there's a limited number of guys who were 2-time first-team All-Pros, and he easily could have been. A year that he got 1,268 yards and 7 touchdowns, he easily could have done it that year, too. It's just, it's a shame. How old was he when that happened? And again, I didn't blame him at the time for looking for more money, but it's just, it seemed like he let himself go as well. It wasn't the same guy when he came back. He was 25, coming off a 1,300-yard season with 9 touchdowns and a first-team All-Pro who carried his team in the playoffs. And then that just wrecked his career. Do you know how many multiple-time All-Pros there have been in Steelers history, Wonder Twin? No, you don't.
No, 5?
Neither did I. No, there's more than that, but when you look at first-team All-Pro, you're looking at guys, here's guys who just had 2, like Le'Veon did. Just 2. Franco had 1. Marquise Pouncey had 2. DeCastro, 2. Mel Blount was only a first-team All-Pro twice. James Harrison, I mean, Ben was never a first-team All-Pro. Now, part of this is a function of who's in the league at the same time as you are. And then there's, you know, the top of the list, you have guys with as many as 4. And only four Steelers had 6 first-team All-Pro nominations. 4 of them had as many as 6. Can you tell me who they were, Wonder Twin?
4 of them had as many as 6?
Yes.
Or to say Joe Green?
And none more than 6. Joe Green is wrong. He had 4.
Jack Lambert?
Yes, he had six.
Mel Blount?
I just said he had two. You weren't listening.
Troy Polamalu?
No, he had four.
Rod Woodson?
No, he had five. Jack Ham, Dermoni Dawson, and Alan Faneca. How about that?
Wow,
little,
I wouldn't have guessed Faneca.
How about that little horsefly?
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Some guy tweets me, says, I love you, Joe, but go easy on city limits. Go easy on city limits. It always sounds like you're nitpicking on so many little things. I'll tell him, city limits is a big boy who will come right back at you. No need to protect city limits. He's fine. Limits, your thoughts on the matter?
I was on the phone with Kabali. Who was this, or was this just a texter?
A random tweeter, yeah.
I appreciate the tweeter for having my back, but I think Joe and I have had a lot of good back and forth, and I've stood my ground.
Yeah, you stand your ground, and you come right back at me. You don't need protectors out there, do you?
I don't think so.
Is Kabali on the screen as well?
No, he's just on the phone.
Does his phone work, unlike the Steeler preview show the other day? What were you doing, Kabali? You couldn't even hear you on the preview show.
What do you want me to do? I'm like in the press box.
Move out where it's clearer. Go outside.
How am I going to go outside for 3 hours?
Walk.
I eventually just went to the phone after that. So why don't you just settle down there, Joe? And by the way, you're talking about Austin being a big boy. You guys are 125. You got to be more specific with big boy.
He's a 135, first of all. Second of all, you're no Batco. When he's on the line, he goes to his car and just sits in there because he knows it's going to be quiet and it's going to be a good interview.
Well, Batco is a professional, and I am not.
How about I heard Mark passed up an invitation to go down to the McAfee suite.
Did you? You could have seen Ben.
I did not get invited. I think I got bumped because of Ben.
Wait, you didn't get invited? That's not the info we have.
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm not going into that. I don't know. No, I have work to do, man. I don't have time to go down there and drink some beers.
Did you see Ben?
I'm a professional.
Did you see Ben at the game? Was he outside the locker room?
No, I did not see him. I just saw him on the screen, just like everybody else.
All right, then let's get to some topics, big boy, shall we?
Okay.
Let's start with Minka today.
Oh, I thought we were going to start with Devontae Adams.
Yeah, we might. It's a little curveball.
It's a splinker. It's a little bit of a splinker.
More of a splinker. He hasn't had an interception in like a year and a half. He hasn't forced a fumble in like 3 years. And I'm curious. And I love Minka. I mean, he leaves his heart on the field every week. He's a guy that you can use in a million different positions.
Yeah.
But why, especially so far this year, because Terrell Austin said he was going to get back to Minka as the turnover-creating center fielder.
Yeah.
How are they using him? Why haven't these turnovers happened with him?
Well, the easy answer to that is it's just teams are trying to stay away from him as much as possible. The old, what's the guy from the Atlanta name again?
Bates.
Arthur Smith. Jesse Bates is the old Jesse Bates effect. If you don't get the ball near him very much, it's hard for him to make some plays. But as for putting him in position, I mean, that's definitely a defensive coordinator's job right there. And obviously he hasn't done a good enough job to do that. I mean, if you're trying to create turnovers, you have to have Minka around the line of scrimmage. He just has to be, you know, maybe not as out there as Troy Polamalu was of freelancing, but something in the middle there a little bit. I think that's when he does play his best ball. But on the flip side of that, Joe, you look at it, they haven't allowed many deep balls of any, you know, over 30 yards this year, and that's partly because of that as well. Maybe they're just thinking the pass rush can get to him and just to prevent the deep balls, and then that will happen. But, yeah, I think he does definitely need to find a way to get him free, get him to create turnovers because he means that much to this defense.
15-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Davante Adams, story of the day. Is this going to happen? Should it happen? How aggressively should they pursue him?
Wow. There's a lot of questions right there. I mean, of course you want Davante Adams. Anybody that says you don't want Davante Adams is just lying to you right now. I mean, but that comes in a vacuum, right? I mean, what are we talking about here? We have to take in other things into account, as in money, compensation back, other teams involved. But they could use a guy like that right now. How much you push for it? I don't know. I mean, it's very, very complicated to me, because do you want to pay the guy $13 million, give up a potential second-round pick for a rental player? But that rental player might push you over the edge where you are right now, what, the best team in the AFC North. You're the third-best team in the conference, really, if you look at the standings. So this might be your best shot right now. I don't know if they have enough money to do it right now with the $13 million. I'm sure Omar Khan can definitely restructure that deal, give him money, and get him under the cap. So I don't think that's a big deal. Me, I would try to go out and get him, but I would not mortgage anything for him. I think it would have to be the right deal. You know what I'm saying?
So no second-round pick? Everything to him. No second-round pick for you?
If it's a second-round pick, I want to have the mindset if it's going to be more than just this year. We are sold with him next year as well. Maybe we could use him as a pawn to get George to take less. Maybe we don't want to sign George anymore, because you have to understand, you look at next year, Joe, if you're paying Davante $35 next year, George Pickens is up next year, TJ Watt's up next year, and Justin Fields is up next year. Eventually, you run out of money. So out of those four, which one would you not want? So that has to play into the decision right now. But if you can, you acquire him and you worry about that later. But I just don't know if that will happen right now. But I would try to do it. I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't sell the farm.
I mean, all those problems, all those issues were in play when they went after Ayuk, and they apparently were willing to pay him more, around $30 million a year. So why not Davante do a longer-term deal, at least a couple of years?
That was before they gave Freiermuth and Hayward money too, right?
Yeah, but...
I guess Hayward didn't really matter, because that's basically a one-year deal anyway.
Yeah, and the salary cap's going to go up, and they're still, no matter what Fields does, he's not going to be making the best quarterback money, so they'll still be saving at that position. You think he's a $50 million a year quarterback?
I don't know. You see the quarterbacks around this league? A lot of them stink. So if he puts together a 11-6 season, a playoff win, and he's a free agent, people are going to throw money at him. I mean, it's obviously looking way in advance right here, but he's a young, talented guy that's gotten better and led a team to 10 or 11 wins. He's going to get paid.
I don't know if he's going to get paid
a lot. You don't think David Tepper's going to come and say, boy, Bryce Young, let's just give him $45 million a year.
I don't know about that.
I can see that happening. I can see that happening.
Maybe.
In Carolina.
Maybe. I don't know if we're getting there yet. In fact, I think the Steelers, if they think he is good, should part with their tradition of not signing guys during the season and try to get him at a price.
That's not going to happen.
I didn't say it would. I said it should.
If you're Justin Fields, why would you do that right now?
Well, first of all, guaranteed money for the future. Second of all, if you're Justin Fields, how do you know you're going to have success anywhere else?
You're going to have success in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now, too.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah, I get your point.
Take the money.
I get your point. But the Steelers, that came from Dan Rooney in 1993. We know the story already. They're not budging off of that. No way they budging off negotiating in season.
I know.
It's just not going to happen.
But that doesn't mean it's the best policy, because I don't think it is. All right, Mark. How about Najee? Why were we watching a game the other day where him and Cordero are basically trading carries and one guy's unstoppable and the other guy is averaging 1 yard per tote?
First of all, I've always been a Cordero Patterson fan. I think he's a lot better than people give him credit for, but Najee is a guy that I think we've come to the conclusion right now. I do think he's the best guy they have. I still think he's a good running back, but obviously he's limited in what he can do as in big plays. But I think we also are seeing this year that he is much more effective in a two-back situation, a split back, a 60-40 range like Jaylen Warren last year. So that's not what Arthur Smith tends to like to do. But I think it's coming crystal clear that he's better like that. I think he's just frustrated too. I know, I mean, just take Cordero Patterson out of it because he's only had like 6 carries. I know he's had some bigger plays. But the 8-9-man boxes were getting very, very frustrating for him, even when they were winning. But other teams find success through that as well.
Is he a good fit in Arthur Smith's offense, Mark? Because Jerry Dulac reported today, essentially, that he had heard the reason Najee didn't get that fifth-year option was the Steelers weren't positive or at least wanted to see if he fit in Arthur Smith's offense. Explain what all that means.
Well, first of all, that's what was told to a lot of people. So they wanted that out there, right? They wanted that to be the narrative out there. I just don't think they were interested in giving him $7 million or $6.8 million for that 50-year option. That makes him a top 10 or 12 paid running back in the league, and they don't think that that's the right bang for the buck. As for, I don't know what you're looking for. You pretty much know what Najee Harris can do for him his first 3 years. I don't see why you need to see him in Arthur Smith's offense. Isn't Derrick Henry somewhat similar to him, other than some of the big play capabilities? I think it just all comes down to money, and that's the reason why they didn't pick it up. I don't think it has anything to do with fitting into a system, even though it doesn't look like he's fitting with this system as it is applies right now because of the limitations put on the run game because people want to stop the run and still don't cross fields defensively.
May I engage Mark in a game of free association?
100% you may.
Let's move very quickly. Mark, do the Steelers get do they get Davante Adams?
I'm going to say yes.
Holy horse follicles. After all you're saying yes? What do they give up? Yeah. What kind of draft pick?
I think they're going to somehow, I think he's going to con artist him. I think he'll maybe a third round pick. If you give him a third round pick, I think he'll have to be a third and a fifth for a sixth or something, one of those type of deals, you know. Give him a third and a fifth and they get a seventh back, something like that. I think that would do it, but I think you have to move forward with him past 10 games. I think you got to keep him next year too.
Level of concern on Patrick Queen, who was getting moved around like a queen on a chessboard by the blockers in Indy the other day. 1 is you're not concerned at all. 5 is you're highly alarmed and you'll be calling him Devin Queen by the end of the season.
I'm 1. I'm not concerned at all.
Wow.
You get any lineman on a inside linebacker and they're going to move him.
What has impressed you through 4 games about Patrick Queen?
100% of the snaps. That was pretty impressive.
The fact that he's plays impresses you?
Every snap.
What?
I you know what? Something happened on that touchdown, too. He wasn't very happy. I'm guessing somebody else screwed up their assignment. I mean, I'm fine with Patrick Queen right now. He's the best linebacker they've had in 10 years.
Other than the fact that he's alive and on the football field, tell me what you're impressed by through 4 games.
He's able to cover too, man. He can do a little bit of everything.
All right, now we're talking. He has covered some people down the field.
Once again, I just think that 3-4 game span stretch is just too little to be able to make a determination on if this guy's good or not.
Okay. Who's going to be, if you don't get another receiver, who's the Steelers' second best receiver?
You know, the guy that they decided they don't want to play, Roman Wilson.
Yeah, well, is he going to play this week?
He said he was going to play 2 weeks ago. He thought he was going to play last week. He was out there warming up before the game. He looked like $1 million. Then they don't make him active. You tell me.
Is he going to play this week?
I don't know. Every time he tells me yes, it's a no. So I don't know.
I'll try a third time.
He knows.
I'll try a third time. Is he going to play this week?
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Kabali, and have a wonderful day.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Things get very contentious with Dr. Welby, don't they, Limits? You saying goodbye to him now?
Yes, goodbye, Dr. Kabali.
He's the greatest, though, isn't he?
Did you see the tweet that he put up yesterday that he put up his Christmas tree?
Already?
Yes.
Reason?
It was a joke, actually. He did not actually put up his tree.
Oh. What's a reasonable time for you?
The day after Thanksgiving.
Me too.
I do not put up the tree before Thanksgiving.
That's almost a tradition, right? The day after Thanksgiving. You're home. You got nothing to do. You put up a tree.
You put up the tree. You get out the decorations. You watch some football on that Friday. Because there's now an NFL game that typically
You remember on. Tree Rollins from Clemson? NBA career?
No.
Hell of a shot blocker.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.